It is sad for us, but we, yeah. So we are excited for the call we've had. I'll start real quick and just tell you that when we started the month of January, we started our production. We exceeded our production goal for January.
Great.
And that was a revised higher goal because of, you know, how well we finished, 2020. So from production was good. We did not open any new accounts with any new relationships. We though had a number of, it's not true. The Crows, that's probably February, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll be a February.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess just for this communication, January, we didn't, but in February, I mentioned one of the relationships there that Andy and Tim secured, will be happening. We also have, two prospects that, are really, really good sized prospects and would be great for our designs and what we want to do for this year that have come up in the last month. And, we're excited about those. Both of those are basically $10 million possibilities.
Where did they come from?
Well, one of them was a prospect from 3 years ago, selling real estate. Didn't really happen, and now it's kind of back in play. So that's kind of was there. And then the other one found me on LinkedIn.
Wow.
And she's a former client. From 15 years ago.
Wow.
Found me on LinkedIn. We met. She asked what I'm doing. I told her about the team, and I told her about Nova, all the things we talked about. And then she's very interested. She sold her business, and she's very interested. So, I'll wait to see where all this goes, and we can officially claim it as something that'll be – for all of us, a job well done, but at least we have a chance. We're in the game. So
where did the prospect come from 3 years ago? Do you remember?
Yes. Yeah. It's Janet on our team. It's her husband's family.
Okay.
So, that's not for any, reason other than our relationship and all that, but it's his family owns real estate. And we went through this 3 years ago, didn't get anything done, but we're back at it again. They might be able to get something done and create some cash. So that's where that one came from. The other one, and I would say probably Andy can speak and Tim to speak more of that, but I think Crow will just be, that was just a, I don't know what sealed the deal on that, Andy, but what sealed the deal on
that? Yeah, but the Crows are right now, they're with a local RIA, Mariner Wealth Advisors. You've probably heard of Mariner, Rob. And I've been in touch with them for a couple of years now. And have known Brad in a couple different instances, one from a group called Mercury Club, which is kind of this, business networking lunch club. And then he is also affiliated with, prep school where I coach lacrosse, and he's big into sports and he went to school there. So we knew each other in a couple different ways, outside of business. So I had reached out to him and asked him if he wanted to get in touch a couple years ago. And we've just grabbed coffee, once a quarter or something like that. Unbeknownst to me until, 6 months ago or so, Brad Crow used to work like years ago with Tim at UMB. So just kind of a small world. He and Tim were good buddies are good buddies. And so they, there was just a couple connections there. Brad's wife is an owner in a dermatology clinic. She's a physician in, a suburb of Kansas City. And so, there's more opportunity than what's just coming over now, but, we had just stayed in touch, and he said at some point you're, because I kept presenting a couple different ideas for tax estimates and just things that he wasn't hearing from his current advisor, service related issues where they weren't very engaged with him. And he said, hey, I'm going to send you my statements and see what you think. And one thing led to another, and he said, all right, I'm ready to pull the trigger. So it just took a little while to get there. And then, you know, I think it just finally bubbled over where he was like, all right, let's do this, because it was, I had been proactively staying in front of him and the other guy didn't. So
it's interesting. It's friend building. You know, we always call it, instead of fundraising, we call it friend building. You almost become friends before when you're talking 10 million bucks and big accounts, you're talking friends first. And then people say, I don't do business with friends. I'm like, well, you're never going to get the big guys then.
Crow's right under a million. The two that Gary's talking about were the Tenskys, but Crow's right under a million for me, which for me is good.
Yeah. That's good. And, you know, they're not 80, so they're going to grow and bring in more money and, you know, compounding. So that's great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Shall we go through the list? Planning, implementation, brand management. We went right to growth, which is, of course, where I love to go. But let's go back to planning and see how we're doing. What's the goal for this year and how are we doing?
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of a slower start in the planning side. And that's on me getting in front of Gary and Tim to make sure that we've got our eye on getting plans updated. There are not too many plans that need to be created. There's plans that just need to be updated, and doing it in a way that we don't get jammed up at the end of 2021. So that's on me to get back in front of them and make sure that I've gone through a list of people, because we have a list of people that need plans updated and created. So getting that list in front of them in a manageable way where everybody can digest, you know, here's the five people we want to focus on, or 10 people this month. And then you've got, you know, 20 to 30 people you've been able to knock out for the quarter, so that you just kind of catch up, you know, so at the end of the year, it's a manageable piece as well. And it's just like the other quarters. So that's on me to do from a implementation standpoint on the planning side. I think as the prospects are coming in, it's harder because we're not all in the office together, and the only two people that are really in the office together, and that's only part of the week, are Tim and I, is making sure that when a prospect comes in to meet and we're working on a proposal and we're working on investments and we're working on all the pieces that come with a prospect, that when Tim's saying we lead with planning, and sometimes we're occasionally maybe getting out in front of the planning piece and talking about the proposal, because that's more, it's quicker and it's more tangible, and you don't need to do a questionnaire. All you got to do is get a statement and then do the proposal. But if we're leading with planning, I'm still trying to figure out how to make sure that we talk about planning and build a plan and then back into a proposal. Because how are we doing a proposal if we don't know a number of factors that go into the plan?
I think one of the things you want to try and do is you have a uniform, quote, onboarding process.
Yes.
And create a checklist surrounding that. And then everybody buy into it. We're not going to cheat and go to the low hanging fruit and just do the plan, you know, do the investments, because that then becomes the end, right? Then they think of you as a stockbroker, instead of their financial planning coach. So I think you have to just force yourself to be patient and say, this is a, you know, this is a three meeting process, mm-hmm. right? Or a two meeting process, whatever you guys decide, but it's not a one meeting process. It's, you gather the information, you present the information, you execute the plan.
Okay.
It just forces you to just be patient. It's so easy to want to jump, and I don't blame you. I mean, and you know, sometimes you do jump. You know, if it's, you gather the information, the next meeting you present and you execute. So maybe you only need two meetings. But it's not a zero meetings or zero fact finding. You know, you got to get the information and do the analysis and make sure that this is the right asset allocation for this risk tolerance. And they're not, you're not just, you know, winging it based on your gut feel. That you've got all the information. That's just a discipline that you guys just bring that discipline to the process and say, hey, not landing the, we're not taking the plane off until we've done the pre-check, you know, pre-flight checklist.
Okay.
We, you know, Rob, we have a operational checklist. I'll be darned if I know where it is, what it looks like, where we are in the process, what anybody is doing on anything. I mean, that, and I think that's, yeah, I don't think it's just because we're remote. I don't know. Like, so Andrea has it. I'm sure she can produce it, but you know, with all the other things we're doing, I don't, you know exactly how top of mind all these steps are that you're talking about and Andy's talking about. And it's mostly because would a best practice be all of us have this sheet of paper, like in a book?
Yeah.
Or something like that. And then we know what.
I would take a folder like this and just say, okay, this is my pre-flight checklist. Okay. And open it up and there is the checklist and here is the questionnaire. And so when you're sitting with the client, you've got the checklist, you got the questionnaire, you fill it out and you submit it. And that book comes out every time you meet with a client.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So that just, that little folder comes out every time. And then you hand them their folder, you know, once you filled it out. So that second meeting is, you know, basically here's your financial plan. Here's your folder. Here's your 12-4-2 analysis. Here's your 24-month calendar of things we're going to talk about. That's all in your, in your folder, Mr. Client, and they're like, this is awesome. Yeah. So just, you know, you can call it what you will, an onboarding process, a pre-flight checklist, whatever. I love the idea of checklist because that's what I did, right? You're in the middle of airplane country. Checklist. They like checklists out there. You crash fewer planes that way. So... I think that will work. I really like that idea. I actually never have articulated it thinking about using a folder, right? Here's the checklist on this side, right? And on this side is the financial planning questionnaire. Matt, how simple is that, right? To just do one?
How simple is that for you to duplicate? That's what we just talked about.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that as Andy was talking. My checklist is more like getting a documents to open new accounts. So I think I need to work on it a little bit maybe with Andy and Tim because I don't have, I mean, I have a line for implementation. Do we have the right forms on file and that kind of stuff? But I think we probably need to make that more detailed. Mine's more about getting documents and getting account information to get accounts open for onboarding as opposed to investing.
Yeah, you don't need the investment piece. Just concentrate on the onboarding. What are the steps you need to go through in order to onboard? And what, you know, here's the questionnaire for the financial plan. So you make sure you gather the information. These are the docs we need. We need your tax returns, 2 years of tax returns. We need this information. We need that information. And then we put all that together and come up with a financial plan based on what you have given us. You know, I need statements. I need your financial, and I would ask for the taxes. I think that's really important. They can't hide. It's like, you know, they give you the statements, but they skip, we got $1 million over here at the savings and loan. Well, that's right in that tax return, right? So Yeah, I think that would make sense rather than just trying to remember everything that you guys, after a while, you get pretty good at remembering. But if you forget something, it makes it hard on Andrea.
Yeah. Well, we've got, I think, let's see if we can make some progress on that, guys. I think I've been thinking of that same thing because we have these prospects now coming, you know, on board, and I want to make sure we do the same thing for all of them, not just, I want to know what Tim's doing and Andy's doing. You should know what I'm doing so that we're all doing the same thing and not just specialized for something that I think is important.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get that checklist done, send me a copy.
Yeah.
I'll check it against what we have and then come up with maybe something that you hadn't thought of.
Right.
That's it on the planning side for me.
Good. No, that's great. We got a little creativity going there. That was good. Implementation, 24-month calendar.
Yeah.
Supernova, yeah. The investment process and so forth.
Yeah. So, real quick, this month in terms of, implementation for our calendar, we're focusing on, banking and, there's a securities back line promotion that the firm is running right now as we speak. We have a goal of this year to do more in the area of banking, more in the area of, mortgage refinancing as well. So, that's on our calendar. And then just today we got a printout, a promotional piece that could be sent to a client. So, that just came earlier today, but that's something we need to talk about, maybe identifying a good target market to forward that onto. And then, so we're keeping with the 24-month calendar and trying to make sure as we go into these months, we know what the goal is, the topic is, and then trying to provide any sort of additional information to the team that might be helpful in connection with the topic.
That's great.
In terms of investments, we have an investment meeting tomorrow afternoon, and I'm putting together information for that as we speak. And so as a team, Rob, once a month we get together to kind of talk about the economy and the markets and our strategies, and there's a little packet of information we go through, and then we kind of brainstorm in terms of our strategies and how we're positioned and whether or not we think we need to make any adjustments.
That's great. Two things, Tim. One is information for the team training, right? Which you mentioned. The other thing is if this is this is for publication, you can enclose that with the agenda for every client.
That's a great idea. That's a really good idea.
And don't presuppose that you know whether they need a loan or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the big things that we do is we under-educate, under-inform our clients because we think, well, they don't need long-term care. Okay, well, they may not, but their parents do or their brother does or something, right?
Yeah.
This is an education piece. Rather than a sales piece. And so what you want to do is say, hey, you know, this may not apply to you today, but 6 months from now, you may be looking for an opportunity to, find money. And this is one that people don't think about. And using it for mortgages for children is a great idea. Easy, simple, no closing costs. Much easier than mortgages, no pre-qualifications. As a bridge loan to a permanent finance, it's a great idea. Lots of different things. And just giving the clients, people with a lot of money borrow money. People think that they have a lot of money. That guy's got $10 million. He doesn't need any money. No, no. He's the guy that borrows. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah. And it's great business for you guys. And the firm will love you for it. They love those spreads. You know, they love the spreads. And it's a chance, in many cases, to do a client a favor. You know, you can get them a better rate than you could get otherwise. And, you know, sometimes you can negotiate something a little tighter than typical, and that makes you very special to them, and it doesn't really cost you anything, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a way of negotiating something that you weren't going to get anyway. So you're like, that's cool.
Which leads me to just a quick question. You know, I think it would be a great idea to include some sort of piece with our agenda. One of the things I was curious about how you handled is the agenda. Like, so I have a few meetings this week, and this morning I fired off an email with an agenda attached saying, I look forward to meeting with you on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever day. I did not have this promotional piece at that time, so it wasn't connected. But do you send an agendas like on a Monday, or do you suggest people send agendas kind of all at once, or a day before the meeting, or what have you found that people use, or you know, best practices in terms of?
Andrea should be doing it, okay, and it should be probably a week before the meeting, and she should have the enclosure for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that just keeps everybody in their lanes, okay? So she's setting up the meeting, she's scheduling the meeting, she's sending the agenda, she's sending the executive summary. Now, you can send her an email, which is the email you want to send to the client. She can kind of copy and paste or do whatever she wants to do, check it over, and then send it to the client. But she's in charge of maintaining the integrity of the process.
Right.
Okay, so it doesn't go out the last minute. It goes out a week before.
And we do our, you know, that's, you can tell we're kind of still, there's some things here we're not quite, you know, as far as our roles are concerned, but we do ours on the Friday before the week. So that's when we do it. So
yeah, that's fine. That gives them time. It's a little quick for the person on Monday, but that's okay. You know,
I don't have any. That's a good point. And Andrea, that's right. I don't have any Monday meetings, but maybe we could do it on a Thursday because some of these guys have Monday meetings. That's true. I don't.
Okay.
Mondays and Fridays are my days off of scheduled.
Scheduled.
People know the calls. I mean, I understand.
The more you can create process and lanes, the more productive everybody can be. You say, well, that's kind of duplicating. I can send it. Well, if you send it, then Andrea doesn't know if it went out. Okay. And then she doesn't, you know, did he have his meeting? Did he not have his meeting? I don't know. So it's just kind of like, I don't do any, you've noticed that I don't do anything without Lori and Cindy, right? Everything kind of goes through them, then to me. So, and it prevents me from scheduling or double scheduling on top of what they're scheduling. So I've never done, when I ran the big, you know, the Midwest, I clearly couldn't schedule meetings, right? I had to have Marianne at that time schedule everything. So I got kind of used to that. It's a pretty good way to operate. So, but then you get this, you know, ritualized agenda, and the agenda can continue. It doesn't have to be a brand new agenda, right? Because mm-hmm. there's things on the agenda that will carry over from one month to another. The agenda and the executive summary should be very similar, right? So you've created, these are the topics we're going to talk about. This is what we decided to do. Here's where the executive summary can be a big help, is in terms of client compliance. Because clients will not do things unless somebody is holding them accountable. They'll procrastinate. They're just humans. So you put on there that this is my responsibility. This is what I said I'd do. This is what you said you'd do. And you put their name on it, and you even put a date on there by next week, by next month. Meet with your estate planning attorney, you know, by next month. And also include the things that you did. You know, we decided that we were going to, sell some money market funds and buy EEM. We're going, you know, putting 5% more in emerging markets. Put that right in there in the executive summary. It's like a confirmation. And then, and what happens is you get kind of a trail then, which is nice. The client can then respond back if they didn't understand something, or they want to add something for the next meeting, or they just want to inform you, you know, that I've got to give away $10,000 to, you know, Kansas State or something, you know, they got to give some money away. And so they can include that. And so that becomes a kind of a good thing to have. So anyway, enough on that. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. It tightens everything up. It's kind of the checklist thing. You know, it just kind of, we execute. Brand management. Andrea, are they falling in line with your plan here?
Yes, we're all doing great with the plan. Yes, I mean, I have started time blocking more, and that's helped for me to streamline getting reports out and all of that. Gary and I have worked really hard, and this is now our third month of our set appointments where we had to go back and reschedule some for existing Supernova, but I feel confident we now have the calendar set and it's right. And then we've added 3 new clients since last month to the Supernova program.
Great.
So.
Any feedback from you on the process, or any good ideas or anything that you've improved on?
I would say from process, just blocking aside that time on Friday to get out the reports, send them, and then they're very good about emailing me right back. Okay, we're good to go, send that one, or no, we want to hold off on this one, or this one I'm not going to do, or that kind of stuff. But now that we're talking, I think I should move it back to Thursday in case anybody ever wants to take a Friday off, or we have a Monday call.
Yeah, and people are doing the same thing. You know, you'd be surprised. They're gone on Friday. They're doing something else, and they may not even see it until Monday morning, and then they're like, oh, you know. So I think Thursday is a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. Growth. We talked about growth. You kind of, Gary, you sort of started in. Anything to add to what you mentioned before?
I don't think when it comes just the numbers, I think our efforts, Tim mentioned it a little bit. We took the business plan. You might remember last time we had Andy took a look at that. I don't know if you did or not, but one of the observations was that why were we only looking at our business plan semi-annually? That was one of the questions, which I didn't have a good answer for. So I've since moved that to quarterly to focus on, to make sure that we're hitting all the targets and the focus of where we're supposed to be. So that's not growth I can report on yet, but I think it's, will certainly add to the growth. So I don't think anything there. I can tell you that for our growth, you know, our big, big focus is on generating new relationships, working on masterminds, center of influence, all that stuff, as you know about. And we've had a lot of success there in the last 30 days, I feel. That's kind of more marketing, I guess. Or maybe it's leadership or marketing. I don't know how we would.
Yeah, that's marketing. That's perfect. Yeah.
But I think we've held, and we talked about this a little bit before all of us became involved on January 28th. That was our very first Zoom call with a CPA firm, two women who are actually clients of ours, very small clients. I mean, not anything just a couple of mutual funds and SEP IRA stuff. And I don't know, Andy can probably tell you on that. You know, we thought we structured it well. We're still not exactly sure if we kind of accomplished what we wanted to accomplish yet. And I think it's still a little bit in, you know, we want to make sure our message. So I think we can probably do better. I mean, if it's our very first one, I think we can do better. But I do think that we're going to keep insisting for that follow-up meeting, I think, Andy, here pretty soon. Because what happened, Rob, is we basically, you know, we're kind of talking, explaining to them what we hope we can accomplish. And then they're like, well, there was no urgency. You know, any of that. So I think what we said was we want to find out the type of clients that they would like to have at their firm. And then we want to tell them the same thing for us. And we thought that would be something we can do just as a 20-minute kind of a call as a follow-up.
Right.
That's how we're trying to do. So it was a little awkward. We kind of went, I'm not going to say all over the place. We had an agenda. I don't know, Andy, what do you think?
Gary's being delicate about it. But basically, you know, we created an agenda, got it out to them well in advance. You know, originally they've been clients. They've known Gary and Andrew for quite a while, but they had mentioned that they wanted to further their business relationship with this team. They had mentioned that. And so we had reached out, set up a time to meet. I was going to go out there. Gary said, no, don't do that. Set up a Zoom call so that we can all meet and talk about our various roles. It's not just you going out on your own. And
right.
I said, you know, it was a really good idea. Set up an agenda, send out the agenda. And I don't have the agenda in front of me. I'm trying to follow kind of the COI process, as is Gary, Tim, and Andrea. Those are the four people on the call on our team. So I don't have the agenda in front of me. I got the points written down. We're talking to them, and everybody's on a Zoom call like we are right now. And so I start bouncing around, just like Gary said. And instead of trying to accomplish one or two things, I got frustrated with myself because I wasn't prepared. I wasn't organized enough. I hadn't practiced it. And, you know, that was frustrating for me, to the point where you say, what are you trying to do here? And, you know, Gary and I caught up about it afterwards. And I thought, you know, the next meeting that we set up, he said, why don't we send out a time? We talked about it during the call to have a follow-up meeting in March, 20 minutes to go over your typical client and our typical client. During the meeting, they said, they started it right off the cuff saying, we are being more and more picky about the clients we take on because we're having a lot of success. And that the inference was, we're not taking on new clients unless we vet them, which is fine. And we do the same thing. The next thing they said, you know, the other big piece that I took away from it was, you know, not only are they vetting clients, but they are wanting clients that are going to create more revenue for them. And they're wanting clients that are going to listen to what they have to say, all the things that we wanted.
Yes, said, oh my gosh.
We refer to, you know, we work with some really good advisors. You know, we do work with good advisors. Okay. The inference there was we refer. The other piece is we have their accounts. We have their SEP IRAs. They're not big, but we've got a relationship with them already. And we've had that. So I guess I walked away from it thinking, you know, okay, we agree that we want to do business and talk about what you want and what we want. And that's going to be the next meeting. I sent a follow-up email, and that was about, I think it was over a week ago. Haven't gotten a response.
Last week.
Last week, and I haven't gotten a response yet. So as Gary said, I'll send a follow-up email. Wait, damn, those can lights need dusting. But yeah, so I sent a follow-up email, and I'm not frustrated. You know, I feel like I need to practice more. And Gary just teed up another COI meeting for the 22nd with a estate planning firm. But the person that he's dealing with knows what she wants. She's well prepared. We're going to be well prepared. We know what we want. And the back and forth is going to be, I think, a little bit more on point. And this was like, I'm trying to feel them out. And I was just like, and it dragged on. I thought I was repeating myself, which I feel like I'm doing now. And I just got frustrated with myself because I wasn't ready. I was just bumbling around. I felt like an idiot. I'm being a little harsher than probably I should be, but I want to be more prepared, and I don't want that kind of meeting to happen.
That's exactly the feedback they gave me, Andy. I'm just kidding. No, that's, you know, it's not, you know, we don't have to kind of go to all those. It was much more, it was better received than that, Andy. So yeah. It wasn't that. The difference here, Rob, what we're doing is, in this next one, is an estate planning firm, and I suggested to her a potential partnership so we could understand what they do. And she said, yes. And I said, can you set up a meeting? So I put it back on her to say, I thought about what this Andy's talking about is we initiated it. And because like, and you said this in your book, you know, you're like, okay, if we initiate, it's like, we're kind of asking them to help us really. But you know, that's not really how it should be. They should be fortunate that we actually are talking to them. And one way we can do that is this other way, which I'm hopeful that's going to work out this way, which is the estate planning attorneys are the ones setting up the meeting. It's on them to do it, and they've got it done. We just got earlier today, I finally got the date and the time. She sent the invite. She's putting two or three of her partners together. And I think we'll have an agenda, Annie, do the same thing. And, you know, we practice it. We'll get better, you know, at it. But that's what we're doing. And this is the second one in, you know, less than a month. So I feel like we're making some headway.
Do you remember the model that I suggested for your agenda?
I don't know. We used the steps on the seal. We used the five steps.
Right. But in the meeting where you're introducing yourself, do you remember what I suggest you do? No. Okay.
You mean the five star model?
Right.
Yeah. That's what we did.
That should have gone great.
It did. And Andy's not. I thought Andrea, you were on the call. Didn't you think it went well?
I think it did. I think they are a much more relaxed group of people, I think is the way to say it. I mean, they've known each other since they were in college. They were college roommates. So I don't know that we were more, I don't want to say professional. I don't know. I agree with Andy. We need to like practice more as a team, especially on Zoom, just because we aren't all sitting in the same room where it's easier to talk. But I think we did fine.
Yeah, I can't imagine, but I mean, you don't want to take a lot of time, but you want to establish that these are the ways, think about it this, all you want to talk about is why we're different. Okay, this is what we do, this is what I do, and this is what makes us different. Because that's what they care about. They don't care about how similar you are to everybody else. The only thing they care about is why are you different? Why are you better than everybody else? So why are you better in planning than everybody else? Okay, so why are you better in implementation than everybody else? Why are you better in brand management than everybody else? Why are you better at marketing than everybody else? Why are you better at leadership than everybody else? They do care about those things, but if you don't tell them, then you're just the same as everybody else. So remember, in planning, the key isn't the planning. Everybody does planning, right? So what makes you different?
Okay.
So what is it?
Well, not knowing, I mean, everybody does planning, not knowing what everybody else does. I mean, you're I think of us as, if somebody has a problem and they tell us what they need, or they don't know what the problem is, we're coming up with ideas to which we already have the solution, and we're truly listening to what the client wants, or in this case, what the client's going to want, and anticipating their needs and including it in the planning process and covering soup to nuts all the pieces within the financial plan that we think they're going to get hit with, and coming up with solutions that are current to current issues, current tax issues, or thinking about the future and understanding, you know, this is the lowest tax bracket you're going to be in until the tax law is sunset from TCJA 2017 at the end of 2025.
It is, except Rob probably wants like two sentences.
I want you to say the difference between what we do and what everybody else does is this.
Okay.
Everybody does planning, but we do multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution.
That was going to be my next sentence.
So the answer is, what is the difference? You fully implement the plan. You're a dog about helping the client to finish the planning process. You do it over years of relentless pursuit of perfection. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good, and Andy, I'm the same way. I was thinking about what I would say when he asked you the same thing. I have come up with things I've used before, which I've liked, which is where my experience allows me to basically tell you things that sometimes you might not want to hear, but you need to hear in planning.
Yeah.
And I can kind of get away with that.
Right.
You can't. But Rob's, you know, he's.
Look, everybody does planning. That's how we beat Oxford Financial. They charged, you know, $20,000 for a financial plan. We did a better job because we implemented the plan. They did the plan, and they were writing books. Other people write books. We coach and counsel and get people to do things. Why do you think you hire me? Anybody can read the book and do it. No, they read the book and then they can't do it. You hire me to help you finish and get it done. That's what you do. They hire you to coach you through the process to make sure you do the things you don't want to do because everybody procrastinates. A plan is no good sitting on a shelf. You need to execute. You need to make sure that you have the titling done properly. I mean, nobody finishes. So that's planning, implementation. What's the difference? Just go through each one and think about what it is that makes you different. Full implementation of the plan through 12 scheduled, right? Implementation, but our planning process, our investment process is, we supernova our investment process. We simplify it. Since we talk to you 12 times a year, our performance is better because we know who you are. We focus, we customize, and we make sure that the planning process and the investment process coincide.
Yeah.
Okay. You will do better with clients in terms of performance because you talk to them every month. I guarantee it. If somebody doesn't talk to somebody except quarterly, they miss things and their performance suffers. All right. Brand management. What's the difference between our service model and everybody else's? Well, clearly, right? 12-4-2 plus rapid response to their problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How are you able to do that? Because we have less than 100 clients. You're going to wow them with that. If you don't do that, they are not going to be wowed. You want to have every star say something that's going to wow them. And leadership, we meet with every player on our team every month and go through their investment goals in terms of their goals in terms of their five-star model, their personal and professional goals. And we help them to grow. So the difference between us is managers get business done through people. We get people done through leadership. Our people grow. Okay? So you wow them with your insights as to how your team is organized, why you're good. And you can talk about, look, our minimums are these because we are limited in the number of clients we can work with. We'd love to have more, but we can't. Each one of us has a maximum of 100 clients. At this time, we each have 80. So that's it. That's all we can do. All right? So our minimum is $10,000 or $1 million, whatever it is. Okay? So that's how you get their attention. You don't get their attention by having a long speech. That's what everybody gives them. Short, pop, bang, where they go, wow, how are you able to do that? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it might be, I mean, and we're going to work on this. And I know that we're up against the time. We're going to work on this. And we've got a meeting, which we'll have, we'll talk about the next time. We'll tell you how it went, which went on the 20 in 2 weeks. But, you know, I might do something like work on a short, quick overview, hitting those things just like you did, and then let Andy give a quick thing, Andrea, Tim, you know, something like I could kind of set the table a little bit like you did. I can really get good at that and let them, this is what we do. We do this, and maybe we can all together look like
a team.
There isn't any reason why we shouldn't be honest. I mean, that's what I'm getting out of this conversation. Just be honest. I mean, Andy, it's like you said about those Robin Hood trader guys. You know, we're the good guys. I mean, you said it half jokingly, but I'm telling you. I mean, that's exactly what we can tell people. So.
Yeah. Well, and what Gary's trying to accomplish, and Rob, what you're saying, I mean, that's the truth. So why would we not tell it?
You got to tell it, but you can't confuse them with a lot of other things.
Yeah.
In sales, you got to keep it simple, stupid. You remember that?
Yes.
Keep it short, really short. Boom. Hit them. Put the important things right up front and then move on. Yeah. And then if they have questions, great. We'll get to the questions. And they'll think, boy, these guys are real pros.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Now this is recorded. Okay. So Andy, go back and watch it again and just say, what did Rob say about this? Andrea, go back and say, what did Rob say about brand management? Okay. What did he say exactly? And those are power. I'm using power words. Power words are compared to soft words. Soft words get you nowhere. Power words have an impact. So you want to have impact with power words. Rapid response to your problems. 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. Boom. Power. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good guys.
Thank you. It's always great.
You're doing it. The key is you're doing it. You got up, you know, showing up is 90% of the game. You don't win a marathon by sitting at home on the couch. You got to show up.
Thank you, Rob.
See you guys.
Bye.